This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think highly of Tony Oliva and Jim Cutt.
Yes, sir.
I feel like I've known him for years, which I have.
Yes.
What is the Golden Days era?
It must go back to after World War II. Because Gil Hodges is in, and he was done. He was on that ballot, and he was done playing in like the mid 50s, I think, maybe late 50s, with the Brooklyn. I don't think he ever made it to Los Angeles, and they moved there in 58. So it must go from World War II to, I mean, after World War II to 70, maybe into the 70s. I'm not sure exactly.
But what distinguishes going in under the Golden Days era as opposed to going in on a ballot?
Well, when you are on the baseball writer's ballot, it used to be you were eligible for 15 years. You had to maintain at least 5% of the vote from the get-go. If you come out the first year and don't get 5% of the vote, see you later.
Right.
And you 15 years, you got to get 75%, which is tough. You then were done. And the Hall of Fame got so much heat about some of the people that we passed on.
Like Tony Oliva.
Yes, and they created a veterans committee. And then they decided there were too many different eras. They wanted to get historians on this thing. So I believe there are three of them now. There's this Golden Age one.
And then the early days.
And then the early days. And I think there's maybe a something that covers the more modern times since the mid-70s or something. There's another committee. And these are, there's seven Hall of Famers on this one that voted yesterday. And there's four historians, a couple of media guys, and then three executives from teams that vote, and you have to get 12 out of the 16.
Well, I guess it's an awkward question.
It's an attempt to get more of these guys in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, basically. And that's my question, and it's an awkward one because I don't doubt Tony Oliva's credibility or his skill. But are we just inventing new ways to give everybody a medal, that type of thing?
No, well, you're sure inventing new ways to. It's a kindler, gentler.
Okay.
I wouldn't say you're inventing new ways, but it's a kindler, gentler Hall of Fame. And the baseball writers used to raise hell. You know, the old crustier. When this first started, they raised a lot of, you know, not me, I didn't care, but a lot of the old, you know. Well, now being number six, I'm an old timer, but the from 20 years ago when this first started, there was, you know, we were basically protesting that you are going against our will, and we're your voters. Well, unlike the Cy Young Award, the MVP Award, the Rookie of the Year Award, the Manager of the Year Award, we own those. We are serving as the first line of voting at the behest of the will of the Hall of Fame. It's not, the baseball writers don't have any control over this, but like we do those other awards.
Here's what I'm saying. In this newer and kinder view of this,
yes.
Does Kent Herbeck become a candidate?
I would doubt it. I would doubt it. I would doubt it. But who knows? I think Tony's...
Does Joe Mauer?
Joe Mauer is... A lot of people think Joe's going to make it in the normal vote.
In the normal vote?
Yeah. It's going to take a while, but a lot of people... There's a lot... The crusty old group of voters, including me, we kind of would look and say, nah, he's not a Hall of Famer, you know. And I've always turned in a short ballot, I think six or seven guys this year. But that's because I don't vote for the steroid guys. You know, the guys who will vote for the steroid guys are having a hard time keeping their ballot to 10. I don't have a hard time because I don't vote for them.
What's your rule again? If you got caught, you're out.
If you got caught, you're out. It's just like America.
Yep.
You know, just think how many people were stealing money in this country before Tom Petters, but he got caught. You know, that's, you know, you get caught. That way, there's grifters all over the place.
Wasn't
right
the
now.
Rap on Oliva what the career was too short?
Yes.
It's 15 years.
But only 8 as a primo. You know, he started in 64.
Right.
71, he ruined the knee.
Right.
72, he only played 10 games, and he was done if they hadn't come up with the DH. Yeah. He couldn't play in the field. So, and then they came up with the DH, and so he played 4 more years.
64 and 65 batting titles.
Yes.
Rookie 71 of the year. Batting titles. 64. Runner-up in AL MVP voting in 65.
Should have been the winner, a Sporting News Player of the Year, but Zoilo won it, and Tony out-hit him by...
Okay, there's another one. Will Zoilo be a candidate?
No, he won't. Right. He had a short... He had a meteoric career. Tony was one of the best for 8 years, and then he got hurt. But here's maybe his most amazing season of all of them is 73, his first year as a DH. You were... Was that when your first year covered him?
Yeah.
He, as you know, he was, if he got a hit in the gap, he jogged to first base. Right. That was all he could do. And he drove in, he batted 270-something that year and drove in 92 runs.
Isn't that amazing?
With playing on one leg.
Wow.
I mean, he had no foundation anymore. He was hitting with his upper body. Because his right knee was...
Mangled.
This is when you... If there was arthroscopy then...
He would have had a 25-year career.
Yes, yeah. But every year he had 8 operations on that surgery. I talked to our guy Rodney last night. Now, Rodney was actually on a committee, but he had to give his proxy to Blylevin because being a heart transplant, I don't want to use victim, but recipient... He did not, with the COVID still floating around, he did not feel the urge to get on a plane and fly to Orlando, Florida. Yeah. So he was not at the meeting yesterday, but his will was, and Bert agreed with him on
Tony
Cotton.
And Carew were...
Yes, roommates for 11 years.
Joined at the hip.
11 years, roommates for 11 years. Yeah. He said, believe it or not, we never had a fight, meaning a bad argument.
Right.
Probably because Tony said, okay. Because we know Rodney had his grumpy moments.
Yes, he did.
Yes, you know, we loved him, but he had his grumpy moments. And Tony was always in a good mood, but Rodney did tell me that when they got back to their room in the hotel, and later on, not the first few years, but once the knee went bad, he said the first thing he did was go to the ice machine every night.
Yeah.
What
and
was
he'd
the.
Go get a big load of ice and. Oof. For Tony to put on his knee, and then he said, then when I was trying to go to sleep, I had to listen to him moan and groan all night because his knee was bothering him.
I forget which one of you said it, but what did Rodney have, the Nolan Ryan flu? What was the line one of you had? No. I think it might have been you, Joe.
No, he would get the flu occasionally if Nolan Ryan was
Yes. Rudy May was the guy he hated, the lefty, Rudy May.
Rudy May, who'd he pitch for?
Lefty pitched for the Angels mostly, great big curveball.
Okay.
But Rodney was a 140-game-a-year guy, and then... One of Mock's great achievements was he got him in 77. He played 155 games that year. He played that was the most games he ever played, and his numbers were Mock had a, you know, was able to. I mean, because Mock, as you know, you couldn't go in there and do a post game interview without him effusively praising Rodney. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was Mock was very good at handling him. As was Billy, but Rodney was, he was subject to headaches and stuff like that. Mm. And would miss some games.
Mm-hmm. So I saw this now. The 70 squad now has five Hall of Famers on it. Wow.
Yeah, I was thinking about writing something about
and
that team.
They lost to Baltimore? Is
yeah,
that right?
I got swept. I think that Baltimore team won 108 games.
Okay.
They were great.
In the what playoffs? 70?
The
1970
ALCS,
playoffs.
It was the best of five then. Yeah. And, okay. And they got swept in 69 and 70.
Wow.
But those were the two best Oriole teams ever. I think they won 105 and 108.
Wow.
In the AL East.
Right.
Those were really great Twins teams, 69 and 70, but they got swept. The 70 team has five Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Now, Burt was a rookie, but he came up in May and was really good. Five Hall of Famers and the Cy Young Award winner, Jim Perry.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that was a hell of a team.
So who are they? Carew, Killebrew?
Rodney.
I said Carew.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Carew, Killebrew.
Tony.
Harmon.
Harmon. I said Killebrew.
And Burt.
Burt. And now Tony.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Cott and Tony yesterday.
Cott and Tony.
And then Blylevin, Harmon.
And Rodney.
And Carew.
Rodney, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a nice club.
And the first, only two of them went in with through the, you know how tough the Hall of Fame used to be?
Pretty
took
tough.
Harmon till year four.
Isn't that something?
Because he had a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah. And also fifth in career home runs or whatever.
He led the American League in home runs like seven times. And he was, but his career batting average was in, what, 250 something?
Because he went in 87. Is that right?
Yeah.
Harmon?
You went, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to, no, he went in 84.
84.
You went in 84, to be there for him and you know, to cover it for the Star Tribune, and you were just came to St. Paul, right? Didn't you go for St. Paul?
I was St. Paul.
I was.
Why did I go and not you?
I think I was at the LA Olympics.
Oh yes,
I think
you
I
were.
Went to
yes,
the
you
LA
were.
Olympics.
Yes.
And you went and you went and
I won.
Covered that. You won.
I won.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Although the LA Olympics weren't bad.
No.
We because LA kind of emptied out, and Wong and I had a. Rent a car and we drove all over and they weren't bad. But
when do you want to talk about Detroit playing Detroit?
Right now, we should mention Reavers and I should give a little tribute to how much we loved Jim Cott when he was our guest for 5 years.
I said it earlier on GL today. He was the best guest in the history of the Ride with Royce.
Could not be stumped.
No.
Whether you wanted to talk to him about something that happened in 65 or something that happened yesterday. He had a story to relate to.
He still liked that as an announcer.
He's the best. He should be. I don't know if maybe Ralph Kiner got in as the Ford Frick winner as well as the Hall of Famer. But he should be in as an announcer.
As a broadcaster, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was more dominant as a broadcaster than he was as a player. I mean, it is funny, though. Tony gets in on 8 magnificent years, and Cott gets in because he pitched for 24 years, and reinvented himself. He's like really high on the list of all-time starts, and he was a reliever his last 5 years or something like that.
Was the Twins was Cott's only club, right?
Oh, no. God, no.
He pitched for the Birds.
Calvin released him in 73 or 4. He got mad at him because... he was mad that the Twins fired Johnny Sain as the pitching coach, and he wrote a letter to the Tribune or the Star or the St. Paul paper or something, ripping the Twins. And Calvin was mad at him all year, and then when he didn't pitch great, he let him go. People are saying, he got rid of Cott because he's to save money. No, he got rid of Cott because he criticized the franchise. So.
Do you think, and I love Smoltz, but if they added him to the World Series broadcast, that would be spectacular. But would he do it?
Oh, yeah.
Would
he?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. He's
83.
He's 83, but he don't act it.
Is Tony 83?
Tony's 83, yeah. But Tony's 83.
Right.
You know, he's still enthused, but he's got the, you know, he moves around like he's 83.
Well, his knee still hurts, for Christ's sake.
Cott plays golf. You know, Tony loves golf, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He plays, yeah.
Is he good?
He was okay, I guess. He was okay for a baseball player.
That's what I mean, because a lot of baseball players, Puck, it doesn't translate at all.
Puck couldn't hit that Monday Night Sports Talk.
Mock was a hell of a golfer.
Unless you're a pitcher. If you're a pitcher, then you've got a pretty good golf game, I would imagine.
Mock was made to be at a country club.
Oh, absolutely. At the same holes, table in the grill every day.
18 holes in the late morning.
Yep. And then the Manhattans.
Little lunch. Or maybe you hit balls
yeah.
in the morning.
Yep.
Have a little lunch.
Then
go play 18 holes. Right. Then come in, have a few toddies, and play bridge or
right.
for a couple of hours.
Right.
And go home and see the missus about half screwed up about 8:30 in the night. It was perfect. He was the perfect country clubber, but a great golfer.
Yeah.
A great golfer. Yeah, and I can guarantee you, if you were his partner and started hitting it crooked,
he wouldn't be happy.
He would not be happy. He played. It wasn't the money. He played to win. He wanted to win.
I'll never forget this. A couple of years ago, the wife and I are down in Scottsdale for a... my wife works for Park Nicollet, so a big Park Nicollet health convention.
Uh-oh.
And it was...
And you showed up with your bag.
And it was fantastic. And so we stayed at this beautiful, beautiful hotel on the resort, or on the golf course, excuse me. It was wonderful. She had, you know, things that she had to attend every day. So I go out and hit a couple and tear my way through nine holes at this just probably $200 a round golf course. Go sit down, and here comes these two old-timers that sit next to me at the bar. Hey, Jim. Hey, Frank. They say to the bartender, I said, you guys golf here much? He goes, every bleeping day.
Yeah,
it was spectacular.
True. Yeah, it's a life, that's for sure. So, Detroit playing Detroit. I love that
wait,
observation.
Detroit playing Detroit.
One really quick thing. We had a request, knowing that Pat was going to be coming in today to do Monday Night Sports Talk, and on the news of Tony, when we used to play this on the radio.
Que por cierto tiene... Aquí...
What's amazing is listen to the crack and how soon they knew it was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy hit that.
Por cierto, tiene...
The ball can't be 20 feet off the bat.
No, and it was crushed.
It went out. Did it clear that back fence
something?
To Jim Tony. I mean, here's the deal with Tony. I can go back to him. He and the wife bought a place in Miami. Mm-hmm. They'd go to Cuba every year for they had to jump through hoops to get there for years, and then it got a little easier, and then it got hard again. But when they went, they'd take steamer trunks full of stuff for Tony's family and friends, but then they had a place in Miami, and he was telling me, he said, we'd be there about 2 weeks and say, you know, in December, after Christmas, and, you know, in the middle of winter, and we'd say, let's go home.
Yeah.
And they'd fly back here and to freeze their
arse. He loves being a Minnesotan.
To freeze their arse off in the same house they've lived in for 50 years.
Is it in Bloomington?
Yeah, down way about 100, down 100
yeah.
or so,
yeah.
down there by the, and where the bridge is and goes across. And yeah, they just... I love this story. One more I got to tell is his father, the one I've told 100 times, that his father comes here for the first time. And this is Tony's long retired. I mean, it was, you know, his parents never saw him play.
I didn't know that.
It opened up for them later, and his father was Pedro Sr. And Pedro, they pick him up at the airport downstairs. You know, gets off down in the valet area. That's how he gets in the whatever they're driving. And then when they come home, they drive in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in the garage. And he's one of these 5:30 in the morning risers, right? And this is December 22 or something. And he looks out the window, and it's a beautiful, sunny, gorgeous day, and he's got his shorts on and his T-shirt, and he steps outside, takes two steps, his eyes get as big as basketballs, he turns around and never goes outside again in his time here, never walked more than 4 feet to the car the rest of the time. He couldn't believe people lived in this godforsaken place.
And we still can't.
No. But Gordad always tells that story. So anyway, that's
I always think of 8 Millions when I hear
eight,
Tony
that's
Lee.
His brother.
That's his brother.
His
okay.
brother was back for the first time, I think, the real You know, he was Pedro Jr., but he came over here on his brother's documents because they made him younger, Antonio.
Okay.
Because to get signed, he was like 20 when he got signed. When he wanted to be 17. So
okay.
And plus Antonio, he came over on Antonio's documents, so he became Tony. But his birthday changed later on in his career. He got 3 years older, and but that was Antonio, who was here for the first time ever, sitting down with Gordette and. And Reed was Reed.
Rick Reed.
Rick Reed was out there serving up his slop and spring training, and they were hitting bombs and stuff. And I said to Gordette, and he's going, he's making Spanish like groans about how rotten the guy is. And I said, Gordette, tell him she's making $8 million. He said, $8 million. Tell him he's making $8 million. And he goes, she's blah 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 $8 million. $8 million. He slaps himself in the head.
Who found Tony?
I love that story.
There was a guy who played in Havana, Fernando something or other, and he knew Joe Cambria, the Twins guy, mm-hmm. who would send him 20 players every year. And out here out there playing under the guava tree in this mm-hmm. town, and he was a legend out in that area as a 16, 17, 18-year-old, however old he was. And the guys got Papa Joe to look at him, and it took a couple of years, but then Cambria sent him. And he was on the last group of Cuban players that in 1961 that got sent to the U.S. by Cambria, who was the Twins guy in Havana. And they had to go to Mexico because there was already strained relations with the Cubans. And then they hung out in Mexico. And by the time they got to Florida, April 7th or something in 61, most of the teams had already been determined for the Twins in spring training. So they looked at these 20 Cubans for about 3 days and told them to go back home, told most of them to go back home, including Tony, but the Bay of Pigs occurred.
Oh.
So there was no going back.
They weren't going back.
Going back. So he got saved by the Bay of Pigs. Right. He ended up in Charlotte. Wow. He ended up in Charlotte, and there was a guy there named Minnie, because there were some Cubans playing up there, including Minnie Mendoza, who was a utility infielder who had a brief time in the big leagues. And Tony stayed with Minnie Mendoza up in Charlotte and got him to sign him. And he went to Wytheville, North Carolina that summer, the lowest level of baseball, and hit .410. And the Twins took an interest after he hit .410.
Say, why don't you head back?
Why is Roger Maris not in the Hall?
He just had about 3 years. He's just not a Hall of
Famer. And Maury Wills.
Maury Wills, I'm very surprised, doesn't get more support.
Dick Ellenly missed it by one vote?
Yeah, and it's kind of weird. You can only vote for five, and they got to get 12. And I think only six guys or so got votes, and Dick Allen got 11. He'll get in next time, but that's 5 years from now. But he was the guy that everybody thought was going to get in. But I think they kind of took care of the older guys.
Sure.
And I think they said, if we're going to get Cotton and Tony in, we better do it now because they're both 83.
Right.
And they're the only two living among the four.
The ones that made it, yeah.
Yeah. And then they had the, obviously none of the whatever they call the guys that from way back.
Because Super 70 Sports had a great one with Dick Allen with the big heater sticking out, and it said, damn shame. That's all it said.
Oh, there's a lot of heat because of the war crowd is very upset that Dick Allen didn't make it. He'll make it. He just won't be. He's still probably got some guys who knew him when he was.
Do you think Burt didn't vote for him because he hit two inside the park home runs off of him in one game?
Yeah, but that was probably more due to. Who was the center fielder? I can't remember. The center fielder played them both in the
Sofield?
Inside out. No, I don't think it was Sofield. Rick Sofield. Loved Rick Sofield. Yeah. Man. Couldn't hit a fastball, which is a bit of a problem in the big leagues.
It really is.
But I loved it. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the Vikings. That game, Detroit playing Detroit.
Like watching Detroit
just
play Detroit.
Just got ejected.
He's happy.
Yes.
Detroit Don was there, according to reports I've received.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Well, Joe issued the tweet.
So his 8-year-ago threat to never go to a game again.
He's got the seat number stamped on his arm.
You know damn well he was at the next game at 11 o'clock.
Drunk. Yeah. Yeah. Well, God, it was hard.
It was,
you know what drives me nuts? And everybody says, well, you could expect it. No, you can expect it when they're playing at Soldier Field. Right. You can't expect it against Detroit. Detroit's the reason they've had a good, successful franchise.
Did you see Mike Tice issued a tweet yesterday after the game? He said, really? Even I beat Detroit.
8-0. 8-0 for Mike Tice's career against the Lions. 8-1 for Chili Dog.
I know the tweet of God.
What do you
Detroit,
see?
You're welcome. Because of the shooting and everything in Michigan. And,
okay,
you guys needed an update.
I want to know what in God's name was that defensive strategy on the last play. The first thing you have to cover is the front of the end zone, isn't it?
Yes.
You can't just let some guy... In 1959, when I was a slow-footed freshman at Fulda High School, we called that a button hook. Mm-hmm. You just went down there, stopped, and had the guy throw it to you, right?
Yep.
That's about a 5-yard pass.
That's what this was?
That was a button hook, and it dazzled us. Yeah. Where was Cameron Dantzler?
I don't know.
You know, instead of where is the safety man,
yeah.
Where are you going, Cameron? Where are you going?
The play's over here.
Yes, you're protecting the fade route, but the guy's not fade routing. He's standing right there
four feet
from you.
Kevin Seifert's line at 41 Donut. It's like he's a lab, and they faked the ball. And
But I don't think the guy faked it.
No, but that's the first thing that came to mind was Waswa.
I get the impression from Zim, although Zim, I miss the old Zim who used to call people out by names. He wants to get along with people now, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. But
except for Thomason.
Yeah. No. I mean, players.
Oh, the players.
He's not calling
gotcha.
Out his players
gotcha.
Like he did. He's trying to save his job, which he can't save. But I get the impression Xavier was supposed to come up and give him help on that.
I think so, too, yeah.
If they weren't playing this Thursday, would he be gone?
I think so.
Really?
I do. I think so. Because you know, I said this earlier today talking to Judd, you know Spielman, if he can get Zim fired during the season, there's a better chance of it not being a package deal, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then he can say, I can find, we'll find you a good coach there, Ziggy. Let me stay. So I think he's gone. He looks like a dead man walking. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had that beaten down look on the sideline. I mean, he was happier than hell at the end of the Packers game, but he's just had that.
He's had the sad look.
Well, that's for about 5 years.
Well, they can't lose one more, can they?
Yeah, they can. Nine and eight will get you.
Joe, they're still only one game out of a playoff spot.
You
because
got an
San
extra
Francisco
team,
lost.
You know, they've gone from six to seven playoff teams. And the NFC, unlike the AFC, which has got a bunch of teams over 500, the NFC doesn't have that many.
Pittsburgh beat a nice Baltimore team last night.
Yeah. Boy, the pundits turned on Lamar Jackson, huh? Wow.
A little bit, yeah.
Everybody, he's not good enough and blah, blah. But
I'd take him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know what? I think you agree with me. I've always been anti-sportsmanship. I don't like, I mean.
No, I know what you mean. I don't like fraternization.
Seventh game of the Stanley Cup. Okay.
Yes. Shake my hand.
Shake my hand.
Yep.
Not after every bleeping high school hockey game that's ever been played. Who came up with that stupid idea? It's unbelievable. And
there was too much sportsmanship on the part of the Vikings yesterday.
Especially the quarterback.
That's right. He was way too happy.
I said earlier today if there was a Lady Bing Award in the NFL, mm-hmm. he would have won it yesterday. Yep. What a sportsman. He's out there The Lions are turning around saying, what's he doing here? And he's shaking their hands and slapping them on the, what the hell?
Yeah.
And you should be slinking off into the night, hoping that no one remembers that you played that game.
22 hours ago, former Minnesota Viking quarterback Tommy Kramer said the following: "I'm fine with shaking hands with opposing team, but smiling and laughing after a loss like that, for love of the game, is gone." Talking about Mr. Cousins.
You told me that earlier, and I said, see, we alcoholics have the same view of sportsmanship. You know?
You're opposed to it.
Yes, right.
Oh, and also Suhan tweeted this yesterday, breaking: the Vikings will play in the Music City Bowl, which I replied with, Jim, they still need another win to become bowl eligible. Because they only have 5 wins.
Yeah, that's true. They got to get to 500. So anyway.
I did hear a caller, though, after the game that blamed the refs because they didn't call the face mask penalty on Kirk in the second quarter.
Oh, really?
That was one of the... He said it kind of snowballed from there.
But wasn't that final Detroit drive riveting, though? Just to watch it all
because
you got the increasing knowledge that they're gonna do this. They're going
to
do this.
But then they get to the last play, and you say, they've screwed up so many games at the end. But here's the thing. The bottom line... they played the Lions twice. Mm-hmm. Equally matched contest. Right. Both of them could have went either way. They went right down to the end with them. It was. But there's nothing better for local media involved in sports than embarrassing defeat by the local NFL team. Ben Gessling's gamer for the Strip, which I looked at last night, had 721 comments.
Wow, really?
Yes, last night. If it was a win, 60.
Now, here's the
70,
thing.
70, maybe after.
Because you made a great point. As a true, dedicated sports fan, you're rooting for the Vikes to lose to the Lions and Jim Cotantonio to get in the Hall of Fame.
Right,
I agree with that.
Right. I want to win. They got to win Thursday because you got to get hopes back.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Yeah, because you can't. You know, the public is going to turn off. If you get bad enough, then they don't respond anymore.
You got to keep them engaged.
You got to get them to the, you got to get them to the cusp of the press. It's got to be like Thelma and Louise, but stopping, you know, stopping at the edge, not flying. You can't have them just flying off into the distance. You gotta give them hope again Thursday. In fact, a rousing performance Thursday would be
Hey,
nice.
We're back!
That's right.
We also, if you're a true, true diehard Vikings fan, you have to root for the Lions to lose the rest of their games. You want their only win to be against you.
Okay, what year was it? It wasn't Denny's last year. What year was Denny? Sometime in the 90s. They opened the season at home against Carolina. With decent possibilities, and they kicked off, and Stephen Smith brought it back for a
touchdown.
That
was Denny's last year.
Was it 01?
Yeah. What are you playing?
I have no idea what just happened.
I don't think it was his last year.
Look it up. Because I know they had the number one pick that year because that was Carolina's only win.
But Carolina went 1-15, and the Lions went into their last game of the year 1-14, and their victory was over the Vikings, too. So the and then the Lions screwed it up by winning their last game. Otherwise, the Vikings could have performed the incredible feat of being the only victory for 2-1-15 teams. Mm. Now that would have been significant.
The 2001 Minnesota Vikings. This is preseason. Sorry, they lost to the Carolina Panthers.
That's the year then.
September 9th, 2001.
And they lost to Detroit, right?
And they lost at Detroit December 16th. They lost.
Yes. And did they look up? Didn't the Lions finish 2-14?
Yes, they
that
did.
That year. So, yes. So, that would have been quite a feat. Denny, of course, he did not get fired. He resigned. That was my favorite.
He was going to take the high road.
I never saw Sid crazier than he was that day, Joe.
Really?
And I mean, he's crazy. But Chris Mortensen came on, what was it, a Tuesday, maybe, a Monday or Tuesday? Maybe it was Monday, that Denny had been fired.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the scoop. Denny had been fired because everybody kind of expected it. And Sid was out there saying, no scoops, because they hadn't made up their mind when Mortensen reported it, and Denny ended up resigning. And Sid was just enraged that that people were giving Chris Mortensen from ESPN credit.
Well, he couldn't have anybody else get credit.
No, no, it
didn't. He had a tough time with that, did he?
Yeah.
And that, in fact, that could have been his beat writer, whoever it was back then, reporting it, and he would have been upset. Right. You know, so, but.
I will say this, though, speaking of football. I would pay good money to be in Buffalo tonight for a Monday night game against the Patriots.
Against the Patriots, yes.
So I'm thinking
for first place.
Yeah.
And, Joe, you must watch, 40-mile-an-hour winds.
I looked up the weather, and it looked benign.
Yeah, but the wind is supposed to be howling.
Ooh, I'm going
to
watch.
You're
going to
get the wobbly passes.
I almost called you last night.
Yeah.
The Western Conference Finals in Canada.
Yeah.
In Winnipeg last night against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and everyone has got big parkas on, and they're drunk, and they're screaming, just like our fans, and the wind is howling, and the snow is blowing.
Oh,
it was fantastic. It was great because, you know, the other one was in Toronto, and it was windy and stuff there, but Toronto's like balmy. When you get out on the Winnipeg Prairie, man, or Edmonton or places like that, the Grey Cup semifinals are always fantastic. And the final this year, I think, is in Toronto again, so it might not be properly rotten. But
well, plus, don't they play at the Rogers Centre?
No, they play outside.
Oh, they do play outside. Yeah, okay.
They play in the old place where Joe and I covered baseball games. Exhibition Stadium.
Exhibition Stadium.
Where you... It was the right field fence was basically cut right across the football field.
Right.
So you had like somebody hit a home run, it could go another 80 yards down the field. Ba-boong, 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 down the field.
So. I saw just enough of the Hero Challenge in the Bahamas see Tiger interviewed.
Yes.
And I think he's sincerely resigned to the realization that I don't think
it
I can do this
happen again. No. Well, you need the foundation.
He said, I can go out in the cart and play nine holes. He said, but I'm a long way from PGA Tour golf.
He doesn't want to go out there and shoot 82.
No.
You know, he's...
And he realizes he's going to be 25 yards shorter now than everybody.
Will he be a senior player?
I don't know if his ego would let him do
that. I don't know. Phil, it's certainly not costing Phil anything.
Where's that check?
I'll go take
another $300,000.
Take the money. Vegas will take this money, too, when I go there gambling.
But anyway, Colin Morikawa had a 5-shot lead. He finished way down.
What did he do?
Ninth.
The wind blowing in the Bahamas?
He shot a 76 on the final day. Yeah.
Was the wind blowing down there?
Not really, no. Victor Hovland won this.
I don't agree, by the way. They put these in the world golf rankings points.
Yeah.
There's only 20 players.
Right.
Shouldn't count. Shouldn't count. I mean, it's a fine event if they want to have it, but these silly season events should not count, I don't think.
No, we really don't get out of the silly season until they get to Hawaii in January.
Yes, but that ain't too far away.
No, it isn't.
What's the date? Anybody know?
December 6th, Pat.
Ooh, tomorrow, by the way, 80 years. What are we going to do?
Oh, boy.
Do we have anybody? Do we have any 98-year-old guys who are going to make it out?
Just lost the last guy from the Band of Brothers.
Really?
The last living guy died.
Really? Do we have anybody left who was on one of the, was it in Pearl Harbor?
I can't think of anybody.
You'd have to be 98, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. 80 years, though. Man alive.
Well, my old man would be how old? 104? He's not available.
No?
I have not been to Hawaii. No. I
haven't been there.
No. I would love to go to Pearl Harbor.
Everybody always makes a big deal out of it, but it is amazing when you still see the oil.
Yep.
That was a lot of oil in those boats.
Well, did you realize that the people who live, what's the base name there? It's still a big naval base.
Yeah.
Well, the people living there are discovering that there's fuel in their water. There's gasoline in their water.
Still from the...
Apparently, and now they can't drink the water. They have to have their water brought in. People were getting sick. Is it Hickman? No, it's not Hickman.
Hickman Air Force Base.
No.
Hickman's an Air Force Base. I don't know what the naval base is.
I'm looking it up. Sorry, this is taking me a minute.
Yeah, well,
the
Fort Shafter.
No, I don't know if I heard.
No, the Naval Air Base. Naval Air Base, right? Naval Base. No, the Naval Base, not the Naval Air Base. I don't think the lieutenant colonel was supposed to be taking a job at the Kaneoha Bay Golf Course.
I hope he's not living where the water's bad.
I don't think he is. Not close enough.
He's not on the base, is he?
No. He's up on a hill. You can see Pearl Harbor from where he's up on a hill.
What's he going to do with the golf course? He could be the starter.
He was going to be,
greeter.
Do anything they want him to drive around in a car.
I mean, he's just having fun, in other words.
But instead, thanks to the generosity of the GI Bill, which you got 3 years to take it after you retire.
Right.
He's making money going to junior college, and he's learning to be an electrician.
Really?
Yeah, he's taking home repair electrician work. So that's good. Next time he comes home, I'll have a bunch of projects for him.
You now have a guy.
Yeah, got a guy.
I can get that fixed. It's just he's in Hawaii. But they're still not. They don't. If they get some COVID out there, they get a little paranoid. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't think you'd make a good electrician, Patrick. I'm just going to go on a sturdy limb.
I do not take any chances around electricity.
Me either.
No, I'm not.
Well, what did I do though?
I
got myself a good jolt. What was
it? Garage door opener?
No. What was it?
Light bulb.
It was something that I thought that I forgot. Oh, the swimming pool key.
There's a key?
Yeah, well, the thing, it's not a key. It you stick it in there, and it fits in there and makes the electricity run. But it's big like this. And the guy said, the pool guy said, I think it's in there. So I couldn't see it, and I was dinking around in there with my finger to see if I could pull it out, and I go, zing!
Oh, I don't like
that. The electricity was alive. You know, wouldn't have that been the final kicker if that swimming pool had killed me?
Yeah. Full circle.
Yes, right. Yeah, I've always said it's taken 5 years off my life, but I never thought it would be from electrocution.
Who was I telling? Oh, it was my dad. He wanted to hear the story about the lawnmower going into the pool.
The lawnmower, the big lawnmower. The big wide lawnmower.
That was right. It's Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam.
Okay.
Joint Base Pearl Harbor -Hickam.
Mm-hmm. But Hickam was an airfield, I thought. Was it? And obviously the ships came into whatever.
Pearl Harbor Naval Station and Hickam Air Force Base have grown up together around the historic port known as Waimomi to the native Hawaiians on Oahu's south shore.
Right. You know what name? You know what's one of the worst things about visiting Hawaii?
What?
You can't even come close enough to spelling a name to figure out where it is on a map. You know, it's that I don't approve of first of all, there's about 11 letters that aren't used.
Right.
Or in the alphabet.
They don't need them.
So they need them because it's and then the pronunciation. I could never be a sports writer out there.
Not a lot of Perzinskis in Honolulu.
I couldn't spell the names. I couldn't spell the name.
Who's the Detroit guy? La Roma?
Penny Sewell.
No.
Is that who you're thinking of?
The Detroit guy. The Lions player with the
got a very complicated name. Yes, the Saint Brown guy. The last name is Saint Brown, but he must be the brother of Erna Ramos Saint.
Speaking of that,
ignominious Saint Brown.
Ignominious or something like that.
This guy is different.
Is the Igwe Buike kid? Is he any relation to Donald?
He's got to be. Doesn't he?
Well, I would think.
Yeah. I don't know. Donald, I think he got... That was a bad charge,
it was.
Man. Jeez, he was just trying to get a little chemicals for relatives. What the hell? Leave him alone.
It was Donald, right? Was his first name Donald? Yeah.
Very good kicker.
Yeah.
Very good kicker.
Yes. Well, didn't he basically just get blackballed from the league?
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. I thought, we'd just be better off if we legalized drugs in this country, don't you think?
Donald wrapped up his career in 1995 with the Memphis Mad Dogs.
Uh-oh. Which league was that? USFL? No, that wasn't.
No, I don't
USFL.
Think that's USFL.
Why can't I find this guy's name?
Hmm. He's the guy that caught the touchdown pass.
I know.
Right?
I can't find it.
Ignominious?
Here it is.
Yeah. Give me the first name.
Amon-Ra. Oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra.
How's Amon-Ra spelled?
AMON-RA. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
The toughest name to spell in the history of Minnesota sports and for my 50 years is Niederreiter.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not even going to take a stab.
There's an I before an E and then an E before an I and then an R, a single R and a double T instead of a double R and a single T. I couldn't spell. I was so damn happy. I don't do that much hockey, but I was so damn happy he got traded. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Well, and Kirilov is a very difficult one because there's one R, two L's, two F's.
How do you do with Kaprasov? You go okay with Kaprasov?
Because you got the Z. Just remember to use the Z, and it's fine.
You better learn how to spell it because you'll be writing a lot.
For a simple name, this volleyball player at the U, Jenna Wenas, is very difficult. W-E-N-A-A-S.
Oh, not two A's.
W-E-N-A-A-S.
You get the A's. You didn't know. You think you should use two E's and one A, and it's very complicated. I sent in my column on Deadline the other day, and I said, you better check out the spelling on this Wenas. It might be in there like seven different ways, you know. I don't have time to look it up.
He is a first cousin once removed to Detroit Lions running back Godwin Igwebuike. I did just look that up.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I thought. Yeah.
Is he a kicker?
No, he was a running back for the Lions.
Okay.
Well, who's the kid? This name is Extraneous or?
Yeah, he's with the.
Nudrius.
He's with the Green Bay's, right?
Yeah.
What's his first name? Quanamos or something. I bet he's the older brother. St. Brown.
What country are they from?
Equanimeous.
Equanimeous.
Yeah.
Is he an American-born child?
Yeah. You know, it's a good thing that I'm not filling out baptismal.
You're right.
That ain't working.
Next.
Paul Hornable.
We're giving you a bill.
He is from Anaheim, California.
He's from Anaheim. But his name is Equanimeous. Equanimeous.
Yeah. I always think of that bit we used to be able to play on the radio with the guys doing the football names when I hear his name.
Don't do that anymore. That's and we, of course, miss the girls' state basketball tournament study of those names, too. How many different ways can you spell Christine?
Equanimeous attended Notre Dame, by the way. Yes, I was rooting like hell for Notre Dame to make it to the Final Four, just to spite Brian Kelly.
Me too.
But they're all on board on this 35-year-old dynamo of a recruiter, so it'll be fantastic.
By the way, someone put this out there, I forget who, but it basically said if Brian Kelly took the USC job, so it had this guy with a surfer accent, because Brian Kelly was changing his accent.
I said, he can do a little Southern drawl. How's he doing Cajun?
Right.
Let's hear you sound like Ed.
Bush League thing Hillary Clinton would do.
Yes.
Yeah. Start speaking locally.
I have hot sauce in my purse.
Oh, yeah. But the good thing about him is he can, you know, he'll be very popular down there. If they're 9-1 going into the, if they're 6-4, that'll wear out in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
$10 million, 10-year contract.
Ten millions.
Wow.
10 years for how much?
$95 million guaranteed.
Wow.
But a lot of attainable incentives. He must be a pretty good coach because nobody likes him and he still won all the time. But anyway,
all right.
Good luck to Notre Dame.
Yes, sir.
11th commandment, cheer for old Notre Dame. That was the deal. So
I've kind of broken that one lately.
I have to. I don't really care much.
You got to go to the bank.
Yeah.
All I care about is Duke losing to basketball, really. That's the only thing I care about.
Send out Coach K with a loss.
That's a heartbreaking loss. That's true. Hey, are you going to Phoenix?
Oh, for the guaranteed rate bowl?
West Virginia?
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it this year.
So this Kirk Sirocco, the offensive coordinator, we're trying to bring back. He's working at West Virginia. Is that as an analyst? Is that kosher?
I don't know.
To hire, he might have to say, I'm coming in, and I'm going to be the offensive coordinator for next year, but I'm not going to give you any trade secrets. Yeah. I don't know.
We don't know what Rook's got, but I just got a text from him that says today he feels the best he's felt in a week and a half.
Wow.
I hope it's just a case of the good old flu.
Well, I hope so, too. He not says he's Omicron. Chilling like a villain.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. All right. He says, I'm good, but this is the best I've felt in a week and a half.
Wow.
Thought I would share that with
all
you.
Right. Are those Sun Country flights getting off the ground without him out there running the show?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Him and the other guy, what's the other guy's name?
Thomas.
Him and Tom. Thomas has probably got new powers with the Rook.
Well, he's convinced Rookie's undercover boss.
Yeah. All righty.
Yeah.
That was...
Hi, this is Daniel Rue of the Real GM Radio Podcast. And while the NBA season is still pretty new, there are some interesting storylines going on. And for me, one of them is, let's call it a shift in expectations, because there are a couple teams that we expected to be not necessarily pushing the accelerator in the early going in the season, maybe seeing Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, this purportedly strong 2023 draft class, and going, hey, we could be a part of that. And that would be the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. Both teams are over 500 with some nice wins. And this isn't fluky. They're playing well so far. And so we will see how they build on this, how they react to it. Do they keep pushing, see if it can keep going, or do they change directions through trades and everything else? So that'll be something to watch in this year where the draft class is strong and these teams have incentives going in both directions. Hi, this is Daniel LaRue from the Real GM Radio Podcast. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, matchups, news, in-depth analysis, and live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Can check in on your favorite games and events, including the baseball playoffs, start of the hockey season, MMA, boxing, and golf, plus sports podcasts. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts.